Mr. Stewart, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about, you know, after the ship had been commissioned. About the working up trials? Are they probably in the seas off Boston and then moves on to Bermuda? What do you remember of their working up trials?
We did quite a few days going out from Boston. Of course, that would be, December, so not the best of time of year. The weather was quite bad. That was the only time I really felt sick, seasick. Although most of the crew, even some of the older chaps that had been at other ships, were seasick too. They say it's a different motion to, you know, each ship was a different sort of motion. So lots of folk were sick.
Now, what about that? They had a reputation for a bad type of rolling.
Were you
aware of that? What did you think?
They used to roll like anything, terrific rolls, you know. Terrific.
How bad was it?
Well, I'm sure we saw they had an inclometer or inclometer in the mess decks, which was an arrow hanging down free and it had the degrees marked on this instrument. And I'm sure, it used to go to 60, you know. Things like that, which sounds impossible. That means that's more than halfway over. But I'm sure it used to go over to that and then back again, you know, at the worst times, you know, because we used to look at this thing and it would be very way over, you know. But it always came back, fortunately.
Now, as you settled into the ship, you went to Bermuda, I presume, that being...
Well, first of all, no, after, as I say, maybe a week or so, turn and back and forth to Boston, then we went up north to Portland, Maine, I went a few days up there.
What were you doing there?
Well, I think it was just more training, you know. I don't know if it was anti-submarine up there or not, I don't think. And the snow was terrific up there. It must have been January by this time. As far as I remember, the snow was, well, it seemed like a couple of feet deep because the pavement, so you were walking along a trench, you know, in the snow. So it was a very, very deep snow and cold. But I think we only stayed there for a few days or a week. And then I don't think we'd have called in at Boston again. We may have called in at Boston, but then we went down to Bermuda after that, which was a complete change in climate. We were down there for about 3 weeks.
Now, what were you doing at Bermuda? Was this your sea trials?
We did a sea trial and anti-submarine practice with submarines. I don't know if it was gunnery or not. It was possibly gunnery. Probably would be gunnery trials as well. The radio practices, so on. We did that for about 3 weeks, and then we must have passed out after that. We came back to Britain to pick up or join a convoy of several large ships, as far as I remember, including some other DEs come back to Britain.
That would be January, would it?
That must have been January, maybe the end of January. Yeah. And we came apparently near the Azores or something like that back. And as we're chugging along, the propeller didn't fall off, but the brackets holding the propeller to the foot of the ship broke. One of the screws. The bracket broke so that the propeller was swinging up and down. I suppose it would have actually come through the foot of the ship if it had been left. So we ended up with one screw and had to reduce the speed an awful lot. And the rest of the convoy just said, well, ta-ta, and that's that, and left us on the road. And we travelled back to Britain on our own. Probably took us about a good few days, a week or so back, and to Liverpool after that. And then we hung about there for a wee while, and eventually they put us into dry dock. I think they decided if they were going to put us in to sort the screws, they would do the whole refit job and make it up to British standards, tearing all the good things out and leaving the bad things.
Now, how did you feel about the refit? You know, I mean, because what you just said, tearing all the good things out and leaving the bad, that's pretty well, a lot of people felt that. How did you feel about it?
About that? Well, it seemed daft, didn't it? Taking out the, as I said, about the laundry and things like that, taking them all out. It seems silly. And even, I think, the food, they went with the American way, the cafeteria system, where you walked along and they filled your tray and carried it away, whereas we went back to the system of having to each mess deck, I mean, two or three men, usually two men, would go up to the galley and collect the food and carry it down to your own mess deck, you know? Whereas...
Now, which did you prefer?
Well, no, I think I would prefer the American idea, isn't it?
The cafeteria.
I think it would be better, cafeteria, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. When you see how simple it is, really, you know, everybody just gets their own, and instead of carrying it all down, and it'd all be divided up into meals for everybody on the deck, you know? So, really, I think cafeteria would be okay.
Now, what was the food like? Could you tell me a bit about the food? What you get for breakfast, dinner, tea, and what you were a bit fussy about your food, you'd say.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me about what you got and what you felt about it.
Well, sometimes breakfast you would maybe get sausages and tinned tomatoes, things like that.
Were they real sausages or were they soya links?
Possibly soya, yeah. I wasn't up to date in these things. Possibly so, yeah.
What were they like?
Sorry?
What were they like?
Oh, well, it was edible, yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, I think we're quite fortunate we had a reasonable chef on board, you know. It was not just one of the boys cooking, but a chef, you know. And he had a young lad assisting him. So, no, that was all. I always said that the food was quite good on there.
So what would you get for that? That's breakfast.
Breakfast, yeah. Then we had, we used to get Hot Hands to dinner. That was dinner time. That was about 12:30 or something like that. Again, it's a long way back to think of what it would be, you know, but I don't recall anything being too bad, you know, whether it was... I can't imagine it was getting chops or things like that, or chicken.
but it was all right.
But it was okay, yeah. And
tea time? Would you get another meal at tea time? Or?
Yes, about 4 o'clock we used to get tea, which was... I thought that was a Scottish word, you know, having dinner and tea. But but that was more just a bread and jam, or a bit of cheese or something like that. And then at 7 o'clock they had supper.
What would that be?
And that was, well, that was again just like dinner.
A full meal?
A full meal, oh yes, that was a full meal. You maybe get soup and then a main course. Or, I don't know, you've got a sweet as well. You know, well, a calm corn is sweet now. The pudding, wouldn't it?
So plenty to eat?
Oh yes, oh yes, I always said that. No, it was okay.
What about the cocoa, or kai, as they might have called it? What did you think of that?
That was very good. Oh, I used to look forward to that.
What was it like? I mean, what was it exactly? Did you know how it was made? Because people keep saying that...
I think they said it was chocolate, wasn't it? It was bars of chocolate, and then melted down... Well, it'd be a special kind of chocolate for making cocoa, you know. And that was, we used to get that more after supper, that was you finished with meals. But when you were on watch, either probably the first watch, 8 till midnight, they probably had it sometime during that watch. And us during the night, say we're middle watch, sometimes during the night, well, we couldn't go for it. We were in the office, so it was just a code on ice. So some of the seamen used to bring us a mug of kai, as they called it. Uh-huh. And then that was lovely. Oh, that was something to look forward to, nice and warm and sweet.
Now, what about the rum ration? How was it issued?
That was during the day, 11 in the morning, yeah. Funny, well, I was too young at that time to get rum, wasn't it? Was it not 21, I think, before you got rum, yeah. So I was too young for the rum ration, yeah, until the last year or so before I came out. I didn't take it then, actually. I just left it for, I never started on it, you know.
How did they issue it when they issued it? Did you see what happened?
Well, they used to have a big, was it an officer, and a petty officer used to be, and another chap, he used to actually pour the rum, he was a seaman, but they got it in a big container, didn't they? And the officer and petty officer, they kept their eye on it while they, I think they issued, if in a mess deck, say for a mess deck, if there was maybe 10 men that drew rum, they would put enough for 10 tots in a fanny or a jug. And then when it got to the mess deck, it was up to them to divide it up again into 10 equal tots. I had to be very careful with that.
And why didn't you take it? Did you just not like it?
Yeah, well, I just thought, oh, if I start, well, actually, that was right. No, in fact, don't ask me that now. But no, I think I thought, oh, it might get too big a liking for the stuff, you know. So I just never had it, so I just didn't touch it, you know. And not that then against drinking or anything like that, but even then, when I think of it now, used to go ashore, you know, and compared to what young people drink nowadays, we didn't drink very much.
Now, what about cleaning ship? I mean, as a telegraphist, would you be expected to help in cleaning ship?
Oh, yes.
Tell us, what was cleaning ship and painting ship, perhaps, if we do that at the same time?
I used to do that too, yeah, because I thought that was a shame. Painting ship, we'd only been on it a few months, and the petty officer says, oh, we'll paint the office, you know. And I thought, the place is only brand new, you know, why paint it again? You know? But then again, that was a way of keeping it occupied, wasn't it?
And what about cleaning? What was the sort of routine of cleaning?
Yeah, well, we must have gone around and swabbed it down. Maybe the mess deck, we must have taken a turn cleaning the mess deck, and then, of course, we had all our own, what we call dishes up here, pots, we call them in England, cups, saucers, plates, and that, they had all to get washed, so everybody had a turn to do that. I think it took a day, maybe two of you, and you had to be responsible for cleaning the pots that day, you know, for the after of the meal. Cleaning the mess, the deck and that must have just been mopped down or something. Again, I'm not sure.
Now, so you went to Liverpool. How long were you in Liverpool? Were you based at Liverpool, or were you just refitting at Liverpool?
No, we refitted then, we're based in Liverpool, yeah. Apparently, according to the books I've read, we were in Belfast. I know we were in Belfast for a wee while, but I don't think we were actually ever based in Belfast, because we used to always go back to Liverpool, you know, and sail from Liverpool again.
So, and that would be Gladstone Dock, would it?
That's right.
And so that would be from February on?
Yeah, well, we were an awful long time in the refit.
So later than that?
Oh, it was an awful long time in the refit. I don't know why. We were actually still getting refitted when D-Day came. That was, what, June, was it? An awful long time, I don't know why. Must have been about 3 months getting refitted. Because we were in the dock when... I remember the message coming through from in the office, I think they said there was to be an announcement, a very important announcement, at 9 a.m. or something like that. So, I went down to the wardroom and told the whoever came to the door, the officers, that the radio would put the radio on at 9 o'clock. We were going to have an announcement. You see, so we did that through the ship. And that's when they announced it. But such a time this morning, Allied troops had landed in Europe, and this and that. So that was a D-Day for us. We were fortunate.
And what did you think when you heard, you know, of the news?
D-Day. Well, funny enough, you feel you'd have liked to have been there, you know? A strange thing to say, but it's... we've missed out on this, you know, but probably was a better, the better of the two evils, you know, to be where we were. So that was, as I say, you just felt, Well, I thought something big's going to happen now, you know.
Now, Winchester, were you at when you came out of the reefer? You came out of the reefer in June, I presume, then.
We'll tell you about June now.
And what which escort group were you in?
B2 escort.
And do you know the other ships in B2?
Well, the High Honor, she was a destroyer. She was the leader, though. And on the other ones, there was High Honor. And it was the Tunsberg Castle, that was a Norwegian one. They were all Norwegian, because she was a Tunsberg, Tunsberg Castle. Always a castle class corvette. Norwegian. And then there was, I'm sure, the Acanthus, they called one. And the Rose. I hope you mind the Rose. Acanthus, Rose. And I think the Bluebell. I could be wrong.
Did you get on with the other ships? I mean, did you think of them as brother ships or sister ships?
Well, we never actually had much. Well, we didn't, but they also did. We didn't have much. To and fro between them, you know, nothing like that. But on the other hand, we didn't have any problem with them, you know. It seemed to be all right, yeah.
And what duties was the escort group on? You know, when you joined them after your refit finally finished
June-ish. Going over the Atlantic, you know, convoys, yeah.
Now, tell me what a typical convoy was. Take me through a convoy from when it started to when it finished and what the routine was.
Well, of course, obviously, we'd have to leave Liverpool. And I think they called it the Bar Light, wasn't it? Just outside. They'd pick up most of the ships there, I think, and build them up. Probably sailed up nearer the Clyde, I think, and you would maybe pick up more ships in the Clyde. Or outside, not in the Clyde, but over that area. And after that, it was just a case of keeping going, you know, across, well, that would be about, what, six escorts, maybe, about six escorts. Occasionally, we had an aircraft carrier with us. Often you wonder how they ever got off the ground or off the deck with the carriers going up and down, you know. And we'd keep it going until we got to Newfoundland.
Now, during that journey, you were on watch system. So you were either off watch or you were on duty with the coder. Well, now, what sort of messages were you receiving? Can you comment on that a bit?
Oh.
Were they routine or operational? What sort of thing? Do you remember any sort of things that you got?
What sort of?
Messages, you know.
Messages, yeah. I don't know, no, really, you know, that's a daft thing to say. what would it be? They maybe tell us, we'll say diversions, you know, to take different routes or something like that. They must have done that.
Would you get a lot of messages? I mean, were they pouring?
Oh, yeah, continuous. Of course, as I said already, they went out for us, you see, because they were continuous. So that we picked out the ones that were concerning us. They probably, as I say, be diversion or maybe weather forecasts, things like that. One time we hit a hurricane. It was a hurricane, actually.
What was it like? Tell us about that.
That was terrific. That was terrific. The whole of the ship was, the whole length of the ship was on the one side of the wave, you know. And it would reach the top. And when you could reach the top, you could see for miles and miles. And then when it dropped into the valley of the waves, you couldn't see anything except a wave behind you and a wave in front of you. And that took us, if I remember right, it took us about 22 days to get over to Newfoundland, because we're actually getting pushed back the way, you know. Time lasted about two or three days before the sea settled down, and time that happened. We looked around, and I think we're only one or two ships in sight there. The rest were all over the place, scattered, you know. I think there was only one or two ships left.
Had there been much damage done to your ship, to the
Manus? Not much. We were pretty lucky. One or two of the lockers, I think, for ammunition up in the bows, you know, well, near the guns at the front. One or two of them were broken away, you know, carried away. But considering the sea, I don't think we got too bad, you know.
Did she stay dry below decks?
Yes, she did. Amazing. Amazing. I've heard and read in her books of destroyers and that with 6 inches of water in them, you know. But honestly, I think they were mildly shifts that way. They were fairly dry, you know. I didn't have much... I can't remember much water being below, you know.
Now, during these convoys, did you have many clashes with submarines?
Not really, no. We had them once or twice from a distance, you know. You could hear them, funny enough, the Germans did that. They seemed to send weather reports back to Germany. So you could pick them up talking to each other and things like that, but they were always a good bit away from us, you know. We never really... Maybe had a few alarms, but we never really had any proper contact with them. No.
So essentially, you got away with it, you know.
We got away with it. That's right.
Now, when you got to Newfoundland, would that be St. John's, or where would you go?
St. John's. That's right.
And what would you do at St. John's? I mean, would you get a time ashore?
Just went ashore. Yeah, a walk around St. John's, and. At first, it struck us as being a right cowboy town, didn't it? You know, so small and wooden houses and so on and so on, that it was a bit different to what we were used to, you know, seeing. But we must have gone to cinemas and theatres, but canteens, things like that. Probably walked around the shops, and that'll be about it, you know. That was our time there.
And then, what about the convoys back? Just the same routine?
It was the same routine, except for one convoy. That's when actually I should have come into that airbed, going over, and I was in my bunk, and suddenly I got woken up. Well, this must have been during the night or something. I think I went long down, and it was middle watch, and I got wakened up with this terrific, and the ship was rising. The front end, the bows were rising. Anyway, it turned out that HMS Rose, one of the corvettes, had cut in front of us. And apparently, from what I heard after our ship avoided the Rose, but a wee while later, the Rose did the same again, but we didn't miss it this time. We hit the Rose amidships. And she sunk with, I believe... Some say anyway that it was only four lost on it, but I'm not sure of that. That was a Norwegian ship that rose, and some say there was only four lost, but she went down quite quickly because it hit her in the engine room. So the Highlander told us to go out the road, and they went and rescued most of the people. Well, they did the rescuing, as far as I remember, you know. We got the bows damaged. And water was coming in, but just in the bows, you know, smashed the bows in a bit. So when we got St. John's, they repaired it. Wasn't that bad. They repaired it in St. John's, and that was us. And we brought actually one or two, some of the Norwegian crew back on our ships back to Britain again, you know.
That was no other incidents on the Atlantic convoys, you remember?
That's right,
Now. Well, let's talk about some of the people aboard ship. What about the captain? Who was the captain?
The captain, Dennis Germain, he was.
And what was Dennis Germain like? I mean, I know you had contact with him recently, but what was he like then as a captain? What would you say? He was a lieutenant commander, I presume?
No, he was just a lieutenant at that time. He was only a lieutenant, yeah. He said that himself, he was surprised to get a ship that size, you know, before he'd never been in a big ship since his training days, you know. So, he was a good lad, actually. I think he was quite well liked with everybody.
What made him a good captain? What did you look for in a captain, and what did he provide as a captain, you know?
I don't know. He was... he just appeared as quite a decent lad, you know, a decent chap. One lad went ashore one day. and he got mixed, some problem with a girl, I don't know, I can't remember what it was, you know, but the captain went ashore and went to court with him, you know, and the two of them came back together again, so he must have put in a good word for the lad, you know. And another time we went to Newfoundland, they put us on, they misunderstanding, put us on punishment drill for some reason, a group of us, you know, I can't remember, we went ashore for something. I think it was some rifle drill or some practice like that. But instead of that, they gave us punishment drill, you know, chasing us up and down and things, until one of the leading seamen, he, well, when we got back to shore, they put in a complaint. So the captain, right enough, and anyway, he compensated us. I think he gave us an extra day's leave or an extra leave ashore or something like that, you know. So he seemed to be quite an understanding. A very quiet man. I mean, as far as we're concerned, he didn't talk to us much, of course. He never would have, so wouldn't he, anyway, you know. But no, I think he was okay and quite a good guy.
And what about the first lieutenant?
He was all right too, yeah.
Do you know his name?
I'm trying to think, Jimmy. He'll be in the book there. We'll get out of the book, heaps of. Lieutenant. No, I'll get it there. Actually, he was, I believe he had been a lawyer before the war. I believe that. That's maybe my imagination too. But he was quite a. What do you call an unwarlike person, put it that way, an unwarlike person. I don't want to say he was a timid chap, I don't think he was timid, but he just didn't appear a warlike man, you know, some people, ferocious, he wasn't like that, you know. But no, I think he was all right, didn't have much problem there either, no. Actually, I think it was quite a happy ship, one way or another.
I'll come up. What about the other officers? Walker, you said, was Lieutenant Walker? Was he there?
Lieutenant Walker, that was, he got killed, yeah.
What was he like?
He was a ferocious man. Further, he was trying to prove New Zealanders were better than us, you know, better. He was quite a ferocious bloke, you know. Chase you up all the time, you know. I think he was first lieutenant, actually. He was first lieutenant until this other lad, I can't think his name, he took over. And that Walker would left our ship and went on the Capel. So he was... but really, didn't have a lot to do with the officers. You know, when you got in that wireless office, you were sort of...
Who was in charge of the signals or the communications?
Nominally was David Gibson was the signals officer. David Gibson that wrote that book. He was a sub-lieutenant.
And what was he like?
Okay, he was all right, yeah. But they don't know. They make him signals officer, but they don't really know about signals. It's only a nominal... somebody's got to be in charge of the... that branch, so it's really just a nominal thing. But the petty officer Cole, his name, petty officer Cole, he's really the man. It was
not Cole.
Cole, C-O-L-E, P-O Cole. We used to call him Smokey Cole.
What was he like?
Oh, he was all right. Very good. He must have had a very understanding nature, because we were all rookies, and he was very good. No, very good. And a fairly young chap himself, I think. 23 or 24, I think, smoking. But he'd been in since he was a boy, so he'd be a boy telegraphist, and he knew the ropes outside. And so, I mean, if any, if we got a problem, it was that he was up quick, you know, and take over or lead us, whatever we had to do, you know. No, he was always a very, we could get on fine with him, you know, no problem.